friends, over this weekend, I'm hoping that we'll try and come to grips with some of the sort of common questions and objections to the Christian faith that you might hear raised by family members or people at work or friends that you meet. Now, I understand that some of you have probably been working through a course called Everyday Evangelism. Is that true?
Yes.
Studies based off everyday. And I take it some of you may have even been working on your testimony, preparing a testimony, how to share the gospel with other people. What I'm hoping from this weekend is, over these next few days, is hopefully we're going to build on those sorts of skills of presenting the gospel to other people, those skills that you've been working on. But I want to say to you tonight that there is more to answering questions or answering objections than simply having the right answer. There's far more to it, as we'll look in God's Word a little bit later on. The other aim I have for this weekend is that you will go away from this weekend with a greater confidence in the truth of the Christian faith. That your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is not what some other people might describe as a blind leap in the dark. That is not the faith that we have. Our faith is not simply easily dismissed as a mythical fairy tale that calms a troubled heart. Our faith is an historical faith. And I don't mean by that it's been around for a long time. It's gone past its use-by date or anything like that. But we actually have a reasonable faith that is rooted in real events that really happened. And I hope that after this weekend, you'll go away more confident of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to get started, what I thought we might do tonight is spend a bit of time jotting down some of the barriers or the questions that you think other people have of the Christian faith. Maybe they're things that you've been asked, or maybe that you've heard others ask, or maybe there might be even some questions that you've even wondered about yourself. Now, I'm going to take this rare moment of joy and get Adam to work for me again. So, Adam, at the front here, mate, I want you onto the whiteboard over here. Yeah, give him a round of applause. He is a mathematician, so if he gets anything spelling wrong, we'll just have to forgive him. But now, what I want from you guys is actually come up with what are some of the objections, what are some of the questions that people have of the Christian faith that you might have heard? Anything? Yep?
It's hypocritical.
It's hypocritical, yep. Now, we're going to keep these up on the whiteboard over the next few days. So, hypocritical, yep, over here. Bondy, isn't it?
That's it.
Yep.
If there's a God, why does he allow suffering?
Okay. If there's God, why suffering? Yeah?
How can Jesus be God and God be God?
Okay. How can Jesus be God and God be God?
Reliability of the Bible.
Okay, hang on. We'll give it a chance, okay?
I can make it work.
So we've got the reliability of the Bible. Yep. Okay. Any other ones? Yep. Over here.
If I see it, I'll believe it.
Okay, if I see it, I believe it, yeah. Which is really interesting, because in the New Testament, plenty of people saw Jesus do plenty of stuff, and they didn't believe then, so what makes you think we'd believe it now? Any other sorts?
Problem of the supernatural.
Problem of the supernatural?
Miracles and all those.
Oh, miracles, okay. Any other ones out there, yeah?
I'm good.
I'm good, yeah, okay. Is that the sort of, I'm good, I don't need God?
Yeah, in that.
Yep.
I don't care.
Yeah. That's a big one in Australia, isn't it? I don't care. It's interesting that the Christian faith flourishes in places where it's really difficult. But in a country like Australia, it really struggles to take root. Yeah. Any other...
What about religions?
What about other religions? Yep. Yep.
Science has disproved religion.
Okay, yep. The place of science. Yep. Any other things you want to put up there? I mean, we're coming up with a pretty good list. I've got some other things here. You don't have to write them up, but thanks very much, Adam. Okay.
Spelling's good too.
Is it? Excellent. Actually, the way I got him to do it is because I'm a hopeless speller. So it's always better to get somebody else to do that for you if you're in that situation. Some of them I've got here that you've already up there. I can't be bothered with it, or I'm okay without it. I've already got a religion. Why do you need to bother me with Christianity? I don't know what it's like around your part of the world, but you come around to Liverpool and you see every sort of religion under the sun in Liverpool, in the southwest Sydney. I'm from a different culture. That's sort of the same, the religious question again. How can a good and great God allow suffering in the world? We've already got that one up there, haven't we? Another one is, I don't want to lose my freedom. That's an objection that people have to the Christian faith. They perceive it as limiting my freedoms in life. Okay. Now, we can't possibly cover off all those challenging questions over a weekend like this. And I want to say to you that not all questions and objections to the Christian faith are the same. There are different types of questions or objections that people have. For some people, their objections are knowing type objections or questions. They're the sort of questions that, you know, require what is the best evidence from history or from science or from the Bible. You know, it's offering hard evidence, okay? It's the children's question of why aren't the dinosaurs in the Bible? You know, why we, you know, talk about that. There's meaning type questions. And meaning type questions are more difficult to answer. But often meaning type questions are trying to answer them. We're trying to come to appeal to what makes common sense. What fits with reality? What works in this world? So, and then the last one, some people will have are living questions or living type objections. And often that'll be the challenge of the Bible's view on moral and ethical questions. Now, who can tell me what is the outstanding moral ethical challenge for Christians today is?
Same-sex marriage.
Yeah, same-sex marriage. And quite frankly, I can't think of a time where Christians have been getting airplay in the media talking about these issues and other sorts of issues. I think Christianity in Australia, this biblical Christianity, is starting to clash with our society. Okay? And I think it's going to happen more and more as time goes by. That's why a weekend like this is so important, because we need to be prepared to know how to handle those clashes when they come. Okay? So it's important for Christians to be thinking and working on these sort of common objections and questions. And primarily, the reason why it's important, it's not so much important about the clash, but it's actually because of what God's word says to us. And probably what I think is the key verse or passage for our weekend together is actually comes from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 15 to 16. I think it's printed somewhere in your books there. What page is it on? Page 6, so if you've got your booklet set, just go to page 6. But here's the Apostle Peter. He says, "But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander." Okay, that's probably the key two verses that we'll be basing our talks around today. And we ought to remember that when the Apostle Peter wrote this letter, he was addressing Christians in general. He was not addressing Christian leaders in particular. He's just addressing ordinary, everyday Christians. And so this issue of being ready for these tough questions when they come away, they are not simply the responsibility of those who've had the opportunity to go to Bible college. And there are two key points that I think are critical to our topic this weekend. The first key point is what to say. Peter says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that you have. I take it, it seems to me that the Christians that Peter was writing to must have been living very distinctive lives, lives that sort of stood out in the culture in which they lived, and it was raising questions in the minds of unbelievers. The Christians that he's writing to, their lives were simply not blending in to the culture around them. Now, I think this is a huge challenge for us, something that we ought to be thinking about. Are our lives simply blending into the culture in which we live, or are they fundamentally different? Okay, that's an important thing for us to be thinking about. It seems to me that the life choices that these Christians were making and maybe the things that they talked about raised questions in the minds of those that they came into contact with. And from these questions, Peter is saying, get ready to answer them. The second key point, though, is how to say it. And did you notice how Peter says there? He says, you've got to do this with gentleness and respect. Okay? It's got to be with gentleness and respect. Now, one of the best moments that I've ever witnessed of a Christian answering objections to the Christian faith with gentleness and respect was our former Archbishop, Peter Jensen, on the ABC program Q&A. Did anyone watch that program? Hands up if you saw that program. That was outstanding, the way the Archbishop handled himself on that program. If you haven't seen it, it's on YouTube, okay? So you can go home, have a look at it. Something that I learnt, though, at the previous synod elections for our Archbishop is that Peter Jensen didn't go into Q&A unprepared. He actually spent hours and hours and hours preparing himself, thinking about the questions that he may well be asked, the sort of objections that may well be raised that night. He spent time with a media advisor to help him to know how to best do it. He did not go into that unprepared. I didn't know that. I just thought he turned up and rattled off those answers. I thought it was fantastic. But he was prepared. But that's what he was supposed to be. That's what Peter says, isn't it? Always be prepared. That's exactly what our Archbishop did. And you know what? It wasn't just what he said that night, but how he said it. I looked at Twitter and Facebook, and it was abuzz with comments about how Peter Jensen handled himself. And that his manner that night actually gave him the opportunity to be heard. Whereas the arrogance of Catherine Devaney, who was his opposing number that night, caused embarrassment to many who held her views. So even those who held Catherine Devaney's views thought that the Archbishop did a great job. So for the core part of our time away, we're going to be thinking about what to say and how to say it when it comes to answering those tough questions and objections that will come your way as you live outstanding lives as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, that's where we're heading this weekend. I'm going to stop there because it's Friday night. We've all had a long week, but I'm looking forward to working through those challenges with you.